Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices.
Just jumping right in.
This is the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole. You said let's record, so I hit record.
Yeah. No, I'm into it. It was perfect. Perfect.
And I decided to backtrack. Whereas last time I did a Hoe of History, I was like, I was going to pick this other person, but then I'd have to look up how to pronounce their last name. And, anyway, I backtracked and I did it.
Hell yeah.
This is going to be so good.
But the way that I did it is also funny. So today's Hoe of History is Carmen Della Orefice.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And I watched a couple of different videos, and the first two were just her on runways, because she's a model, her on runways or her like magazine shoots or whatever. Like there was no voiceover, no nothing, so it didn't help me. Then I watched an interview with her where they did not introduce her on camera or say her name. I mean, it's in the description, right? I guess you don't have to. And it was put into like an online article. So I'm like, son of a bitch. So then I found a clip from Wendy Williams' show like 10 years ago. And Wendy Williams did the same thing I just did, which was said it, but with not a lot of confidence.
Minimal amount of confidence.
So I phonetically spelled out her last name based on the way Wendy Williams said it. So who knows? It could still be incorrect.
Fucking Wendy Williams is not a good source for much. So I applaud you.
I was like, I even looked on her Instagram. I mean, I was just like, not Wendy Williams.
Right.
Carmen's Instagram. Right. But anyway, I was like, does no one want to say this bitch's name?
No.
And then in some of the articles that I read, they're like, she just goes by Carmen. Like just one name, like Madonna, right?
Okay.
And I was like, probably because no one knows how to say her last name correctly.
Yeah. She just goes by Carmen.
Well, yes. Yeah,
because her last name has 35 consonants in it.
Oh, I will say her last name one more time, and then she will just be Carmen from here on out.
All right.
So Carmen Della Orefice is 92 years old currently and alive. So this is the first Hoe of History we've done who is still living on this planet.
Right.
All the rest of them have passed away.
Yeah. Look at us go.
So she's the world's oldest model that is still actively working and is
at
actually
92.
Yes. And is on like magazine covers. Like she has had the longest modeling career in history.
Period.
Yeah. Her daily motto is to enjoy herself at no one else's expense.
I can dig that.
And I was like, this is the perfect person for me to do in my season of living.
Yeah.
Truly.
It is. You're not wrong.
I was like looking through the list of people and I go, you know, I should really give Carmen her due justice on the pod, despite her last name situation, because there's so much more about her story that speaks to me.
So, aside from her last name.
Yes. So she was born in New York City on June 3rd, 1931.
Hey, girl.
Yes, I know. That was the other thing. She has her birthday is a day after yours.
Gemini.
Her parents are of Italian and Hungarian descent.
Hey,
ow. Yep. Yep. However, they did not provide a stable home life for her. They fought a lot. They'd break up on and off stuff. So Carmen would live in foster homes or with other relatives when her parents were like really on the outs. There wasn't much said about her father, but I think, you know, similarly to other stories, he just kind of disappeared into the wind, left them with no money, no place to live, you know.
Hopefully it wasn't a tragic ending for him. Or maybe hopefully it was.
I don't know. But so despite her house hopping, she was able to attend ballet classes. And so she was actually discovered when she was on a bus on her way to ballet class.
Oh, like a public bus.
Yeah, yeah. So she was only 13 when she was approached to be a model.
Of course, at 13 years old, as one does back in that era. Yes, I would like to change the trajectory of my life, make life-changing decisions on this bus.
Yes, yes. The wife of photographer Herman Lanskoff is the woman who, I guess, talked to her on the bus and was like, hey, you should model.
Even better. Somebody's wife. Oh, my God, honey, I was on the bus today and I saw this gorgeous girl. So I told her, you know, you should probably photograph her. I gave you information. How old is she? 13.
13.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yep. And to be expected, her test photos were a flop. So,
because she was fucking 13, so a child.
Yeah. She actually did do a photo shoot for Harper's Bazaar, which was, you know, really big back in the day. But they deemed her unphotogenic.
Yeah, but they're eating their words now. Well, they did back in maybe the 1950s.
Actually, there's a turnaround and they like her in the 50s, but not in the 40s. Hey, so
see, there we go.
Yep. But then not long after those two hurdles, her godfather introduced her to Vogue, which I don't know who he knew at Vogue, how he knew Vogue. I don't know who the godfather is. There's really not a lot of information. To be honest, the resources that I used all had very similar information and they'd have like one little more nugget than the other. Like,
oh yeah,
I read a lot of repetitive stuff, so
hate it.
I don't know, maybe because she still is alive, maybe. But there's a documentary about her. And then the other reason I started digging into videos besides just the name pronunciation was because I was like, well, if there's an interview with her, then at least I can get verified information.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up meeting up with the beauty editor, Carol Phillips, at Vogue. And Carol did think she was photogenic. So they gave her a shot. So this was now at 15. So it took a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Year and a half or whatever. So she signed a modeling contract for $7.50 an hour with Vogue magazine.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Is it? I don't know if it is.
For a 13-year-old in the 50s, 40s? Yes. $7.50 an hour? That's what I was making when I first started That was minimum wage when I was like first starting my jobs, like to have a job.
And it's true. It is true. I didn't look up the conversion. So she appeared in the December 15th, 1946 issue of the U.S. Vogue, and she was photographed as Little Red Riding Hood, Snow White, and Cinderella.
Aw, cute.
So in a recent interview, like this past March, excuse me, one momento. So in March 2023, she did an interview with Vogue Czechoslovakia, and it was her and photographer Albert Watson. And she talked about being the breadwinner for her parents. So she actually didn't really like seem bitter at all. Like she was like, it was my pleasure. I know. I was like, okay, I guess she was fine with them. Or she came to terms with it. Now she's in her 90s. I guess she's like,
Yeah, she's tired. She doesn't give a fair fuck anymore.
She was like, yeah, I was the breadwinner for my mother. She's like, well, actually, for both of my parents.
Yeah, no. That $7.50 an hour was about $116 an hour.
Today's money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so that's good.
I'll say.
Yeah. So when she was 15, she posed for Salvador Dali. So he's very, very well-known Spanish surrealist artist.
We all know Salvador Dali. And if you don't, where have you come from?
Well, he's known for like his technical skill and very precise craftsmanship. And if you look up a picture of him, like you would recognize the mustache. The mustache is ridiculous. So in this video that I watched, or this interview that I watched for Vogue Czechoslovakia, she was asked how she felt about working with him. And she was like, I didn't know who he was. Like, why would she? Right. So she was like, I was just there to make my $7.50 an hour to take home to my mom.
Right.
Like, she was just
working, honey.
She was like, I was just there for the money. I didn't know who he was. So anyway, he painted a topless portrait of her when she was only 15, and it was owned by Queen Elizabeth, which, I mean, she's now passed, so I assume that it's still part of the royal family.
What? I'm confused. Hang on a second. I wish y'all could have seen my face just now. So what I just heard was Salvador Dali painted a portrait of a topless 15-year-old, and the queen took it and was like, prized possession.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fucking work? I mean, we don't have to. Whoa. That's so much to unpack. What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the queen took it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We should put an all call out to one of the royal members. Hey, do you guys have that picture of that topless 15-year-old?
There's probably a lot of them, to be honest with you. I mean, it was just a different time.
I was gonna say, like, how many other minors do they have?
Do you think that they checked the ages? Probably not.
Oh.
So her and her mom's rent was $30 a month.
Oh.
And they lived together. And like, this was before air conditioning was a thing. So she'd go and sleep in Central Park where it was cooler on some nights. So I guess like that's common.
Yeah, sure. Like,
she'd occasionally like come across people in the industry or whatever while she's like out sleeping in the park. And they'd be like concerned, like, are you okay?
Listen, for the you know, $7.50 you guys pay me an hour, I have to live with my mom in a shithole. So no, I'm not okay.
So since they struggled so much financially, they didn't have a telephone.
Right.
So Vogue had to send runners to her apartment to let her know about bundling jobs.
Oh my God. They wouldn't even do the mail. The post wasn't enough. They had to still... Jeeves, run down to the 13-year-old's house. Make sure she knows she's expected tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. sharp. Like, what the fuck?
And she roller skated to jobs to save on bus fares. Like, there was even a snippet of her in one of the videos talking about one of the photographers that she worked with and how he walked her back to her apartment because he wanted to like see what was going on and like make sure like she actually had a place to go. And then anytime that they worked together, he'd have like one of his sons walk her.
Good for him.
Back to her apartment so she wouldn't have to roller skate back.
Fucking poor thing. But hey, good for her.
I mean, at that point though, I'm like, why didn't you just give her a bus fare? But okay. She couldn't afford to eat a lot. So she was, I mean, model skinny, but like to a point where she was like malnourished. She also suffered from rheumatic fever when she was 13. So she didn't have like a lot of muscle tone. So there was a point where she couldn't go to ballet anymore because she got so sick and weak. And that like crushed her because she really wanted to be a dancer.
No.
Yeah. So she was 5'9" and only 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah. No, that's beyond heroin chic.
Right. So photographer Irving Penn made her go, which that might be the same photographer who like walked her back and like kind of took care
probably
of her. He made her go to the Vogue staff doctor to ensure she was healthy enough to work.
Good for him again.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, well, it was partly because he cared, but also you needed to have permits due to child labor laws. So
hell.
So they would, in her photo shoots, they would have to pin the backs of dresses because obviously like nothing's going to be small enough, right? Mm-hmm. And then they'd stuff the area where there should be curves with tissues.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's not uncommon practice anymore for people to do shit like that, but
right
tissues.
So yeah, so they would, her and her mom sometimes would make extra money by being seamstresses. They're actually like really good seamstresses. And so they would make clothes for other models and like fashion industry icons. And Carmen would like fall in love with an outfit that she modeled, but she couldn't afford it. So like in one particular shoot, she loved this Chanel suit that they put her in. So she went home and made a replica of it.
Yeah, that's my girl.
Yeah.
My mom used to do shit like that too, though.
Yeah. So Admirable. She said that sometimes, though, if they were a few dollars short for rent, they'd have to pawn the sewing machine. And she was like, it was a tragedy. So.
But they would get it back, right?
That's my assumption. Is that they'd pawn it just to, like, meet the bills temporarily and then go buy it back.
Right.
I'm like, this is rough. This is a rough childhood.
No kidding. I mean, they're all really rough, but this is like more childhood than we've gotten in a while. Probably because she's still alive.
Mm-hmm. It is because I would read something and then she would briefly mention it in one of the like video interviews or something. So I knew that it at least was somewhat accurate. So yeah, we got a little bit more child background, but honestly, her Wikipedia is really short.
Probably because she's still alive.
That's what I'm assuming. Yeah. So she got her first Vogue cover in 1947 and then was on the cover again a year later in November 1948. So then in 1953, she was photographed for Vanity Fair lingerie, which that brand is still around.
But like, how old was she then? 17, 18?
In 53, she would have been like 22.
Okay.
She was born in 31. So the Vanity Fair lingerie shoot, though, it's not the Vanity Fair magazine. I just want to be clear about that. But anyway, she covers her face with her hand. And then she's in nightgowns. It's not like bra and underwear type shoots. Like, it's.
Well, they didn't do like two piece bra and underwear type stuff back then, right? It was usually like long, flowy gowns and.
Yeah.
You know, not real, not the kind of lingerie we have today where it's like harnesses right. and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. But so since there were these long flowy gowns and everything, like she used her ballet moves. And these pictures are stunning.
I'm sure they are.
So pretty.
Oh, I'm finally looking up a picture of her. I've seen her before. This woman is a stone cold fucking fox. It is incredible. She's absolutely fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. So yeah. So anyways, lingerie shoot, but she's fully covered for the most part. I mean, like her arms are exposed, I guess. But anyway, so it was an award-winning ad campaign because it was more like art than like a magazine shoot. So yeah. She ended up with a 10-year contract with them. But yeah, if you have the ability to look up those pictures, they're pretty stunning.
Oh yeah, I'm looking them up now as you tell me about them.
Yeah. Because I mean, and you don't see her face at all, which is, I think, part of the appeal. Like she's covering her face with her hands.
For the whole time.
Well, for the pictures that are selected, yeah.
Right.
So then she also was able to get an ad campaign with Revlon for their Queen of Diamonds ad campaign that they had. And so those two things really helped like catapult her career. So that's when Harper's Bazaar had a change of heart.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Shocking.
I should mention though, I didn't even put this in my notes and I wasn't going to talk about it that much, but I should mention that between the first time she was photographed and then when Harper's Bazaar showed an interest in her, she did have a nose job.
That's fair.
She had broken her nose like on a diving board or something, some sort of kid like activity. When she was young, she broke her nose.
Actually being a child.
Yeah. And so she did get her nose done in between.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm seeing these pictures and holy shit, they are absolutely fucking chic as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl. Proud of you.
Yeah. She very much was on set to work.
Well, yeah, like, she was roller skating to and from. She wasn't just
right. But I'm saying like business. These poses that she was doing and stuff, like she'd have to hold them for a long time. Like she started out training for like different types of photography by learning how to stay really, really still. Like when she was 14, like one of the first photographers she worked with had her sit in a position for as long as she could. And he'd just like leave the room and she could barely be allowed to blink. Like she got conditioned for posing and like almost barely breathing. And then she'd insert her gracefulness from ballet and stuff. And it just made her different than other models. She wasn't necessarily posing for the camera, which I think is what you see in that ad campaign. Like she's not even looking at the camera.
No. And that's the best part.
Yeah. So Harper's Bazaar did some sporadic work with her in the early 1950s. And then like a few years later, she was like 26-ish. Carmen caught the eye of Diana Vreeland, who was Bizarre's extremely particular fashion editor. They actually became really good friends. Diana wanted the photographer Richard Avedon to do a shoot with Carmen in Paris for the 1957 issue. But good old Richard was being a dick. So Diana really had to twist his arm, and Richard wanted to do the shoot with a different model. Her name was Susie Parker. So he brought Susie along as a backup in case it didn't work out with Carmen.
Oh my God. Pettiness.
Carmen said that she knew he was being forced to use her, and that he focused on everything that he thought was wrong with her, including the length of her hair.
Unreal.
But she just kept her mouth shut. She didn't say anything. She's like, I'm just here to work. I'm just here to get my money, you know?
Right.
Like,
it's not personal. I don't give a shit.
Right. And so then at the end of the day, both models ended up in the magazine.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So Carmen's also well known in the industry for being one of like the sweetest and most professional models to work with. Like the interview that I watched with her, which at this point she was 92, and she's talking and she is like giving credit to everyone but her. Like she is seemingly extremely sweet.
Humble.
Yeah. So she's also been called an actress when she's modeling because she concentrates so hard on doing her job well and focusing on the unspoken cues between her and the photographer. So she said that as a model, she didn't have an identity or a big personality. She was a chameleon. She called herself a silent actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she was full of solitude and didn't consider herself to be like the cover girl type. So she actually had more covers in the last 25 years, like in the last 25 years of her life. So like from her like 70s to 90s than she did collectively for her entire career before that.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
She very much like owns her age.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll like talk about that a little bit, which has let her carve out a piece of the market for herself.
I'm sure. Well, I mean, like how many until just recently, like in the last 10 years, if you were over 20, you were like a has-been in the modeling industry. So for her to continue through. Who was that crazy lady, that Janine or Jeanette?
Janice Dickinson?
Yeah. She kind of ruined it for the elder generation of models.
Well, Janice lived hard, and you can tell.
Yeah.
Whereas Carmen, like, is plant-based, uses sunscreen every day. Has never smoked anything, only will drink occasionally. She gets silicone fillers in her cheekbones and does like facials or, you know, like chemical peels or whatever. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, she has not exposed herself to the things that would cause aging. Janice Dickinson has.
Yeah, well, Janice is a turd.
Yes. So, unfortunately, all of her hard work in the 1950s was not fully paid to her. She married Bill Miles, which I tried to figure out if it was the popular Bill Miles, who was like a musician, I think, or not, okay. But I don't think it was. There was no explanation of what he did or who he was anywhere. So anyway, she married him in 1952 and he would pick up her checks from the modeling agency and then only give her a $50 allowance.
This motherfucker.
I know.
No.
I know. So they had one daughter whose name is Laura. And then they divorced soon after Laura was born. So according to the Daily Mail, Carmen and Bill dated for 5 years. And within that time frame, they had 3 illegal abortions. And on top of Bill stealing her money, he was also unfaithful.
Nice.
So technically, they were only married for 1 year, but they were together longer.
Ew.
Carmen said she didn't get married to have a child. She got married to have a relationship and then happened to be blessed with one child. She was asked, though, if she regretted her abortions, and she said, frankly, no.
Well, why would you?
She's like, I got over Catholicism and guilt when I was 8.
Girl, show me the ways.
She said, I made my Holy Communion, but by the time I made my confirmation, I had resolved that it was a crock. She said, women need to wake up.
I'm not. She's not wrong. Good Lord. Hell yeah.
She went on to say, this is an interview from earlier. She said, if the U.S. rescinds Roe versus Wade, women don't realize what it will mean for the rest of their lives and what it will cost the government to deal with all of those unwanted children dumped on society.
She's from the era of that. So, yes, I would listen to her.
Yeah. So, I mean, she was an only child and she was fine with having only one child, that she didn't go on to have more. She actually was like, my daughter knows that she was wanted and she always has my love and that she's like everything in my world. So
mm-hmm. That's what it should be. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So then, again, according to the Daily Mail, which I keep saying that because we never know with them, right?
Yes.
Not long after, she was 28 years old, and she married photographer Richard Hyman in 1959. But again, they were only married for a year. He decided he wasn't ready for marriage or raising another man's child.
Guess should have thought about that prior too, but okay.
Right. Well, according to Wikipedia, though, she had decided to retire from modeling because she was 28. And that's when he left her.
Yeah, so multiple things happened there. He's a little cash cow.
So we have two different things happening here. So she did take a break from her career in like the 60s. Then her third marriage was to Richard Kaplan, and he was an architect. And so she met him in 1963, which again was not long after her previous divorce, and they married later that year. They actually stayed married for 11 years, and I guess it just kind of like fizzled out. So she's been known, though, since her last marriage ended, because it would have ended in like the late or mid 70s. And she hasn't been remarried since. Right. So she's been known to have various lovers. When she wasn't married, but the men could have been married.
So. You know.
You know,
that's on them. Shitty humans, but good for her for having hers.
She said that she always has a male friend.
But of course.
And she's been quoted speaking of like still having sex when she was in her 80s. Like there was an interview of her like 10 years ago in her 80s when she was talking about like, if you've got like a nice car in the garage, you don't maybe drive it that often, but you do have to turn it on and oil it up sometimes to make sure that it's going to run when it needs to.
Yes, Carmen. Yes.
So she was then linked, though, to photographer Norman Parkinson, talk show host David Susskind, and multimillionaire Norman F. Levy. Now, remember Norman Levy for later.
Okay.
Put a pin in him.
Pinning.
So in 1978, she returned to modeling because she was in need of funds. I mean,
right,
is what it is. And so she started appearing in magazines and on runways again. And by the 1990s, even the 2000s, is when she got like another, I guess, catapult in her career. And she modeled for Isaac Mizrahi's clothing line at Target, as well as Rolex. And
that's where I know her from. She's the lady from the Target ads.
Yeah, possibly.
I was just like, who is this stunning old lady? Target. Yeah. Go you. Yeah, I remember.
Well, she did a lot of high end. Mm-hmm. That's why I say like Rolex and other brands that we probably wouldn't have been as familiar with at that right. time. But the Target one I put in here on purpose.
100p.
Yeah, so she appeared in a handful of films, TV commercials, documentaries. There's a documentary about her life called Carmen, A Life of Fashion. It was produced by the University of Arts in London, and they also awarded her an honorary doctorate. Because I'm talking a lot about her like magazine and ad campaigns, but she walked runways. Like she's one of the few people, like she walked a runway like last year. Seriously,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so in the 80s and 90s she lost most of her money in the stock market, so she was forced to auction off some of her famous modeling photos, and she became bankrupt basically. And she also became an unfortunate victim of Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So her boyfriend at the time was Norman Levy.
Mm-hmm.
He was good friends with Madoff. He introduced her to Madoff. And he ended up defrauding Carmen of like several million dollars. For 12 years, Ruth and Bernie Madoff and Carmen and Norman were a foursome and would travel and party together on lavish yachts and go across the world and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you live with yourself when you're fucking people out of that much money?
I don't know. And you're just looking them in the eye every day.
That's psychosis. That's like sociopath shit.
It really is. So her boyfriend, Norman, died in 2005 at the age of 93. And Madoff was the executor of his will. Yes. So Levy had $244 million in assets at the time of his death, according to Carmen. And Madoff's fraudulent investment scheme drew on these funds to lure over 13,500 people and charities into his Ponzi scheme.
Oh, no.
And at this point, she still didn't know. So she had continued to still be social with the Madoffs even after Norman's death.
Wow. Well, yeah, they were her friends.
Yeah.
Or so she thought.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh. So in December of 2008, a friend who had invested her life savings with Madoff called Carmen to inform her that she too had been bankrupted by the scheme. And Carmen said, for the second time in my life, I've lost all of my life savings. So she had to declare bankruptcy again for a second time and then return to modeling again.
Oh my God. You would think this woman should have been set up, but I guess right. It makes sense for her to get back into the modeling game and to be this iconic lady she still is.
Right.
Imagine if she didn't get bankrupt. We wouldn't have her in the front of behind the camera anymore.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. She wouldn't be as prevalent.
Right.
She wouldn't be probably as well known, but So despite all of that, at least she's always been like comfortable in her own skin and has been able to like continue to work.
Right.
And she said that she's always been mindful of her age and how to earn a living. So like when she was 40, she was like, I wanted to be 40. I didn't want to be 20.
Right.
So she's like, I've always done my job as far as looking in the mirror to represent that respective year. And she goes, that's why I've felt so wonderful to stand in front of the camera.
Man, like what a woman, what a human being, what a way to look at life.
Right.
Tackled it with a fucking ferocity.
Right. I know. So, from, I don't know which article I got this from, but it says, for Carmen, the secret to her success lies in the fact that she has always stayed true to herself, and this would be her advice to any burgeoning model. And it says, quote, I always say to women, when it is more about taste than it is about money when it comes to your looks, copy nobody and have the courage to express your own personality. So, yeah, I think the obvious bankruptcies and they weren't even bad decisions. I guess it was, she trusted people she shouldn't have many times in her life who took advantage of her. At the end of it though, like it forced her yet to be in modeling, but I think there's a part of her that would always want to work.
Probably, yeah.
So she said, it took me half my life to find satisfaction. I have been there for a while now, though I can't pinpoint it exactly. And satisfied is the word. Happiness is a quiet indulgence I do on my own.
Yeah. To have peace. It's called peace.
She also said that it took her half her life to understand who she was.
Right.
So she was like, how could I be true to anything when I didn't know myself? So the older she got, the truer and truer she became with herself. And she still continues to say she's a work in progress. But she said, I'm definitely not going to please someone for their sake of approval.
Good for her. Can she be the poster child for all young women?
I know, right?
Good Lord, can we start giving her more airtime? Some of these other ones.
I know. God. I know. So she was actually just on the cover of New You magazine with Beverly Johnson in October of 2022.
Really?
Yes. Beverly Johnson is 69 years old, and she made history in 1974 when she was the first Black model to appear on the cover of Vogue. So Beverly Johnson was 69 and Carmen was 91 or 92 when they did this shoot.
Holy shit, man. She's 91 years old. This is blowing my mind.
Yeah. So she actually poses like partially nude. Like she's kind of covered up by a sheet. Like it's suggestive. And so she still looks sexy.
Oh, look at her. Get it in your briefs, 91. Okay. Honestly, fucking goals. How is she 91 years old?
Yeah. So, you know, she's like, part of her standing up for her age is embracing her body and her beauty and taking care of herself. So she says that she looks like that because she takes care of herself. She's like, men and women should care for themselves and love themselves. And one of the secrets to maintaining beauty is doing what you do for a baby. Nurturing and feeding the baby with love. That's what we should do with ourselves. Nurture ourselves, love ourselves, and give that kind of energy to ourselves. So
yeah,
Beverly talks about how Carmen was a mentor to her and she looks up to her. And
it's just blowing my mind that these two women are like 70. What did we say? 91 and 69.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And so, you know, the big final question here in one of the articles that I read was, has Carmen ever considered like full-time retirement? She responded with no. She said, I want to enjoy every day of my life and work as part of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got a sweet job, so makes sense.
So I got all this information from Wikipedia, Harper's Bazaar, Iconic Focus, The Nocturnal, People.com, NewYou.com, Luxury London, and the Daily Mail.
My goodness.
So
what an icon. If you guys don't, you guys need to go look her up, read about her, tell her
she has she has a Sharon Stone kind of look to her, mm-hmm. in a way. And she has the thickest, like, white, beautiful hair.
Right, ever.
Like, just I don't know gorgeous. How she has so much hair. Like, I'm almost 40 and I feel like my hair is thin.
It's called being Hungarian and Italian.
Yes, that's true.
And being that's the true. Hairiest human possible from the start.
That's true. That's probably helping her.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But yeah, I mean, she doesn't shy away from the fact that she's had plastic surgery, like, and gets like fillers and stuff like that. Right. But
I mean, still. They don't look shitty. It looks good. Like, if you were to go that route, that's ideal.
Right, right. I didn't come across anything about her having like facelifts and stuff.
I don't think she, I don't, yeah. Doesn't look like she did.
But her, I mean, her jawline and her neck are real tight, though. It's possible. But
well, when you do nothing but hang out and take care of yourself and treat yourself like a child, I imagine your body responds accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, I moisturize every day. I wear sunscreen, people. Like, all the stuff I'm always saying.
Yeah.
She's like, I drink water with lemon in the morning. I was like, Sarah, we love that.
We do. We do. We do over here, because that is yeah. a good way to start.
Yeah,
your day.
She's like, I eat a plant-based diet. Like, so when people, that was a lot of the articles were like, what are the secrets to looking so good at your age? She's like, eat well. Take care of yourself.
I don't simple shit, foundational types. There's no secret. It's just taking care of yourself.
Yeah, she was like, I exercise every day. Like, so, you know.
Yeah, you know. The key to success, everybody's got it.
Right.
We're all even here on that one.
Yeah, I know. The one thing I did enjoy was that she was like, I will do exercises every day, but now I listen to my body. So if I'm having a hard time with my arms or whatever, then I just don't do them that day. I do something else. It's just all about listening to your body. And I'm like, I've been hearing this for like years, right?
Yes.
But somehow we're all still conditioned to push through.
Right. Well, because that's not our reality. We can't just, I mean, we could. What would happen if we did?
Mm-hmm.
The world would keep moving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'd all live to see another day. It's not the end of it.
Yeah. So that's Carmen
Catholicism.
Del Orefice and all of her goddessness.
Thank you for telling us her story. What a fucking icon. I'm just. It's remarkable that this woman is still on earth with us too. 90 something years old, you said? 92? Three?
Yeah, she's 92 now because she just had a birthday.
Oh, that's right. My girl, Gemini sisters.
Yeah, I mean, it was outside of how she looks, it was interesting watching the interview with her. Because although she talks a little slower, like, she's still very sharp. Like, she is on it, man.
Yeah.
And they're asking her about, you know, memories from when she was like 13 or about Salvador Dali and all this stuff. And she was recalling things just like snappy snap. And I'm like, yeah, you could tell she's not done anything to compromise her brain cells.
She's peak take care of herself.
However, I don't know how, if she's on yachts with Madoff, but.
Right. I mean, just not drinking, I guess.
She said that she would drink, but she doesn't like do anything else. But yeah, it was challenging to find all of this information. And I don't know why exactly. Like, I didn't have to dig into, you know, the fourth page of Google or anything, but this woman has been around. She's been in the modeling industry for basically 80 years.
Probably because she's not drama. She brings no drama to the table.
Right.
She doesn't make any drama with anybody. She just exists and is peaceful and just content with life. Like, that's probably why.
Probably.
She's not doing the most. She's not the main character, so nobody wants to fuck with her. That's a bummer, too.
Yeah, I was like, I had probably recognized her and seen her throughout my life in various campaigns and whatnot. But the reason I came across her is because she was on a episode of Project Runway where she was being a judge, like a, you know, a guest judge.
Right.
And at that point, because that was just a couple of years ago, that means she was in her late 80s and she's on Project Runway telling people like how much she loves herself. She was very sweet on the show too. I'm like, how is this the first time I've heard this name?
Again, because she doesn't bring the drama. You don't hear about it if they don't have the drama.
Wild.
Or a sex tape, you know.
Right.
So.
It's interesting because when we were growing up, I feel like she might have drifted off a little bit at the time when like the Cindy Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like? Nikki Thomas, like those types of supermodels. Like, it was actually a thing to become a supermodel.
Right.
And at that point, she was already
like mega ultra model.
Well, elderly, especially for the modeling world, right? So she didn't get all wrapped up in all that stuff.
Man.
Oh. Anyway.
There's plenty of eras where she could have gotten wrapped up in some stuff. Let's be honest. All of them are fucked up.
True.
Every single decade had a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thank you. Because she deserved that. So. Fuck yeah. You got a gold star for that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, navigating cat hair at the moment, my bad.
Oh god.
I think it's time.
It is time for Atta Girls. Something that we're proud of ourselves for doing, or something good that's happened to us. My Atta Girl for this week is that I had to switch insurance. And now, as a self-employed person, I could not get the same deal that I was on before. And man, the whole switching insurance process really sucks. Sucks big time.
Sucks huge.
Especially when you're not part of a company or like have like a HR manager or like, you know, some sort of interference to guide you through the setting up of all of the things, you know? So I went to the pharmacy to pick up my refill and they're like, your insurance is like not showing as active. And I'm like, but I've had it since June 1st. It's now, well, when I picked it up, I don't know, it was like June 10th or something when I tried to pick it up. So anyway, I thought I had gotten everything set up appropriately. And then I finally called today. Oh. And it took me forever to get to the right spot. But for whatever reason, they had to activate my pharmacy benefits. And I don't know why, because they switched over my HSA seamlessly.
That doesn't matter.
because they would need you to tell them precisely exactly what you want to spend money on. And that's one of those things where it's not a default because they don't want to have to spend money on it. So if you don't have them check it and you don't call them, then boop, all of a sudden they don't have to pay for shit.
Yeah. But the thing is, I have an extremely high deductible. So like they don't even pay for anything anyway.
Right. What do they fucking care? Well, then they do care. So, they always care.
Anyway, I think I got all my shit straight today. Oh, I mean, I guess there's still an opportunity to find out if I didn't, but I switched my prescription from one pharmacy to another because I could get it cheaper at the other one. And I downloaded like the GoodRx app and got a coupon for the insurance for the prescription since I have such a high deductible now.
Yeah, I got
all of the apps, all of the accounts. I was just like,
manufacturer and you can qualify for another discount through the manufacturer. There's all kinds of fun stuff you can do,
but it took me a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why people make this shit their full-time job, is just helping people onboard the fucking insurance, because it's so much.
Well, anyway, my attagirl is that
you're insured. Yay.
Always been insured. I think I can use it now.
We'll find out. Tune in next week to see if Nicole is able to pick up her prescriptions. That's awesome. My attagirl is, I too got on the phone today to make a phone call that I've been putting off and they didn't answer. So I had to leave a voicemail, but I called them. So hopefully they'll call me back tomorrow. Otherwise, I'm just going to be like obsessive at this point. But really, that's aside from, you know, my garden is growing.
Oh, God.
We cleaned the house, you know, the simple things in life. Got some laundry figured out. I'm pretty low key and I'm okay with that. Just attending to life as usual.
Right. Well, I hope that when they call you back, that you have the ability to answer the phone.
Me too. Shit. I sit in the basement at my job and I get no service.
You may have to end up stalking whoever it is that you're trying to get a hold of.
I'm pretty sure I will, but that's fine. It'll be fine.
I just, making those phone calls, I don't know if it's because I'm a millennial or what the deal is, but I build it up in my head so much that I have to like make this call and I'm gonna have to sit on hold, I'm gonna have to go through the prompts, I'm gonna have to do this, I don't know, I'd prefer to take care of everything online
because we grew up with Comcast being fucking shitty and having to wait on the phone with them for 3.5 hours for them to be like, "Oh, sorry about that," and they just flipped a switch and had internet again.
I don't know, I think that it's just like, yeah, it's like a millennial thing in general. We just don't want to even talk to people.
No, I mean, obviously, we all know this. But I've
oftentimes call myself a cusper because I'm on the edge. And I don't claim all millennial behaviors, but that one I do.
You're allowed to do that cusper shit. Yep, that's fine. I'm just a full millennial. Mm-hmm. I got no excuse.
Yeah, I was born in 83, so I'm a cusper. But yeah, tell me I need to pick up the phone and call somebody. I'm like,
no, I don't wanna.
This part is with the calling of people is that, yeah, like it does, they don't answer or you run out of time because you couldn't get to the right person or what, like. It's never just like, oh hey.
No, oh, that's
oh nice of you to answer.
Right. It's probably why, because there's so much shit that is involved in it. Explaining the story 16 fucking times.
Yeah.
They're hitting every 36 buttons that you need to hit. Missing who the fuck, what the fuck. Yes. All of
and then it. They call me back on some number that I don't know, and then I get a voicemail and then I start twitching.
Right. A mess. A fucking mess. Being on the phone.
Oh, goodness. I need to be as unbothered as Carmen.
Honestly, embody her mentality moving forward.
That woman is unbothered.
By a lot. By a lot.
Oh, man. I'm just going to say her daily motto. Enjoy herself at no one else's expense. So if you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. We'd love it if you share this with your friends. You can suggest a hoe of history by emailing us at homancepodcast@gmail.com or in our comments or DMs on Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can join the closed group that has nothing to do with hoes of history, just hoeing. And that is the Homance Chronicles, a judgment-free zone.
You're welcome. Homance out.